Sam Harris is here to talk about his new movie based on his play, Ham, a Musical Memoir, and give us his spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Charlotte. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Just dandy. Tis the season.
Tell us about Ham, a Musical Memoir.
Well, it began as a book that came out in 2014 called Ham, Slices of a Life, which was published by Simon & Schuster, and it was a collection of essays, non-chronological, about my life, my career, funny stories, family, poignant stories. And I was doing a number of readings, you know, as you do when a book comes out, but rather than do them in bookstores or things like that, which was typical, because I'm a theater guy, we did them in theaters all over the country, and I brought along my amazing music director, Todd Schroeder. And so I would read a few stories, and then I would sing a song. And when I was doing that in New York City, a producer came to me that I knew, Susie Dietz, brilliant, brilliant, multi-Tony nominated producer. And she said, do you want to develop this fully into a musical? And I said, yes. So I live in Los Angeles, as does Todd. But we went to New York and then got it from the page to the stage with my old friend Billy Porter. And he helped to develop it into a full-on musical. And then he directed the New York production. And then I came back to Los Angeles, and there was a Los Angeles production directed by Ken Sawyer, who was quite brilliant. And then we shot it at the Pasadena Playhouse, which is a really gorgeous, stunning theater. And we shot it as a film. And not, as you know, because you've seen it, not archivally, but actually as a film, you know, with five cameras and cranes, and I wanted it to have a film quality and not just like, oh, here, I'm seeing this from the audience's perspective. We wanted to go a lot richer.
What do you want to accomplish with this film?
Well, I'm really proud of the musical itself, and it was so well-received critically, and we won awards for it, and I want people to see it. First of all, I want it, you know, documented, because it's a huge part of my career and my life, and it's autobiographical. But, you know, the story is a little gay kid who grew up in the Bible Belt with a lot of drive and moxie and a career. It is really a personal story about my own obstacles and my own issues of what is enough, you know. I've been fortunate to have had a pretty lovely career through all these many years. And when you're in show business as a performer, as an actor, as a singer, it is always, what's next? What do I do? How do I sell? What do I do? Is it enough? Do they love me? And it's about getting through that and facing some real demons in my life that allowed me to get to the place of finding enough. And that is through my family and my child. The musical is a lot of fun. There's a lot of original music as well as familiar songs. And it goes through the chronological course of my life, the people who influenced me, and ultimately a sense of grounding and happiness.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
You know, Charlotte, I look back at my career, and, you know, I've only been able to do this after having had a long career, and I see this theme in the songs I've written, in the songs I've sung, in the shows that I've done, that I've created, in this in particular, and it kind of hit me like a lightning bolt. There's this theme of hope and triumph over adversity and finding opportunity in obstacles. And that goes for anything that I've created, including a new book called The Substance of All Things, which is my first literary fiction, which is many of those same themes. And I'm like, oh, that's what I want to accomplish in my work. I want to put out a feeling of the human condition, you know, of people relating to something, to be able to laugh at ourselves, to be able to get through very, very difficult times. You know, the play and the movie, there's a lot of funny in it, but it also deals with an attempted suicide when I was a teenager. So I want to give people a sense of hope and humanity and to know that we're all in this together, you know?
You live in California. With the rise of COVID cases in your state, how are you spending the holidays, and what are your expectations for 2021?
Well, my holidays will be me and my husband and my child. You know, at Thanksgiving, I usually have, you know, 18 or 20 people here with a giant table, and, it's like a lot of pre-production and everything is stunning. And this year it was just us. And the same will be for Christmas. It's festive here. The tree is up. The lights are out. There's many presents under the tree, but it will just be us. And I've had to come, as all of us have, had to come to terms with that in being smart and being safe and recognizing this is temporary. And frankly, I get frustrated with people, with friends of mine who are whiny about it. I'm like, I want to see this. I want to meet with my friends. It's the holidays. But I'm like, suck it up, baby. Suck it up. I don't want to look back next year. You know, people died because they got together. It's not worth it. So we have to find the joy. And I think that COVID has actually, in all of its difficulties and tragedies, has also created opportunities. We're all having reunions with people from important times in our lives through Zoom. We're all recognizing the value of each other, and we're reaching out. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've heard from and have reached out to so many people from my past to say, I love you. How are you? And now we have this fabulous FaceTime Zoom world, thankfully, because, you know, in past pandemics and crises, they didn't have it. So we have all of that. And I think there have been many blessings. As far as my outlook on 2021, I am just so happy that we will have a new president. And with all the tsuris and crazy going on with this election and the denials and all that, it's just not unexpected, but it's ridiculous. And I have great expectations for 2021. I have great faith in democracy and humanity. And I cannot wait for the day that I don't think about Donald Trump. I cannot wait for the day that I don't hear an endless list of lies and manipulation. And when we won, when we took this, it was so emotional. You know, all of us who've been on this steady course and this trajectory of hope and democracy. And while we were all being safe, my husband and I drove around for 2 hours honking the horn through our neighborhood. And the horn actually broke on the car because it short-circuited. But we went down to the streets in our area, and people were socially distanced, but we were out waving a huge flag, and people were celebrating, and people were driving in cars, standing out in their sunroofs. And it was glorious, and it was a return to what we want to be, you know, when all of this has happened and we realize that Trump is the symptom of a country at unrest. And it just has given me so much hope that we are back on track, and it's not going to be easy. But I have great, great expectations for 21 and 22 and 23 and 24. I'll add one thing. Our son, Cooper, was born in 2008, which was a monumental year because that was the year my husband and I were married. That was the year that Obama began his first 4 years. And I thought, my son is growing up in a different world, in such a world of promise and equality and hope. And then we got the second 4 years. And then we were all sure Hillary was going to win. And I'm like, oh, my God, my son's life, his future, the first woman president. And it's someone as smart and experienced and extraordinary as Hillary Clinton. And then 2016 happened, and it was funereal. And we've watched the last 4 years, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is the world my son is going into? And my son has said, because he's no idiot, and we live in this world, and he's 12 now, he said, you know, are we going to move to another country? Are we going to? And I said, absolutely not. We are going to stay here, and we are going to march, and we are going to fight, and we are going to vote. This kid has been on so many marches on my shoulders when he was little, in the streets with thousands of people, and teaching him that you do have power, and you do have a voice, and you do make a difference. And I hope some of it's rubbed off.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice dealing with this yourself would you have for these kids dealing with these challenging times?
The advice I would have would be you are not alone. When I was growing up in rural Oklahoma in the Bible Belt, the shame of being a young gay boy was so overwhelming and so scary there were no role models. There were no characters on TV or in books or on film. And we had no one. We were completely alone. And there was no internet. There was no anything to say, look what you can be. Look, it gets better. And so today, we have all this. And I mentioned, and it is in the play, in the movie, I did have an attempted suicide when I was 16 years old because of this very reason. In my case, I had fallen in love with a boy. I had already left home when I was 15. And because of the secrecy and the shame and the condemnation, I thought, I will never have a normal life. I will never, ever be able to share this, to fully experience it, to have a partner, much less to have children. These things were unfathomable. And it was because of I had fallen in love that I attempted suicide. Because I thought, now I've experienced this, and I'll never have it, for real. I had a psychology teacher, this is also in the film, that literally saved my life by saying, there is nothing wrong with you. He literally saved my life. So today, to these kids who are scared and isolated and frightened, my best advice is, you are not alone. There are many of us. You can see us everywhere. You can see yourself everywhere, in the media, online, in places. And whatever your support system or lack of support system is where you live, there is an entire world that is embracing and is loving, who tells you there is nothing wrong with you. Feeling that way is a short-term issue, ultimately. And suicide is a final solution. And there is no sense taking a final solution to a problem that is completely, completely doable. There's a lot of love out there, and there are a lot of arms to embrace people. And I am one. I went through that, and a good deal of my life has been activism and has been saying, you are not alone. And there are certain organizations that I am so proud to have been associated with, help spread the word and help young people recognize their beauty and the help that is right there for them.
How can people get information about Ham, a musical memoir?
Well, the movie is currently exclusive on Lemily, which is, you know, a theater chain, and they've gone virtual right now. And you can go on there, it's streaming there, and you can rent it there. And then beginning January 7th, it will be on Broadway HD for 3 months, and then it will go wider. But I'll tell you something, you know, Charlotte, in these times when we are so isolated and we're stuck in our houses and we don't get the joy and the fuel, the things with other people that make us feel in touch, I think it is incumbent upon the artists to try to provide that at our homes. And I'm hoping people watch this and experience this, because we need to laugh, and we need to cry, and we need to think. And right now, it's not in a theater, but it is accessible. And, you know, we need it. We need this story. I think, especially to an LGBTQ community, this is a powerful and, I hope, a very healing thing.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, I have a new book out called The Substance of All Things. As I said, it's my first literary fiction, and it's about a young boy growing up in rural Oklahoma. Gee, where did I get that idea? Who discovers that he has the capacity to heal through his disfigured hands. And it is his story. He's a 12-year-old boy, and how he is taught this by this Native American outcast. And his mother has died, and his father and he have a bit of a contentious relationship. And it's about his story and how he's exploited because of this gift and how he deals with it. And then that is juxtaposed with Theo, this character, as a man who is a therapist, and through his client, who is a very, very broken woman with a life of abuse and sexual abuse and confusion. And his work with her in helping her to heal, he is able to look back at his life and help heal himself. And getting this movie out and getting the book out are my two primary concerns right now. There are some other creative things in the works. There's a television show I'm developing that COVID kind of plunked on its ass, but we're back in business. And I will always be, you know, writing, singing, acting, doing, developing. It's who I am. It's how I express myself, and it's how I try to bring forth something good in the world. But of course, you know, Charlotte, my main priority in my life is my child, my family, and getting through this period together and teaching him to be a good citizen. And I hope my husband and I model that.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through these difficult times?
Suck it up would be one of them. This is temporary would be another. And in general, I think my philosophy is say yes. We don't know what's going to happen when we say yes to anything. But we know damn well what's going to happen when we say no, and that's absolutely nothing. So it's easier during these times of isolation to sort of live in our little world, in our little corner. But I say yes, reach out, tell people you love them. Say yes when someone needs you. Say yes when you can take food to somebody. Say yes when you can help, like we were talking about these kids who are having issues with their sexuality. Be a person who puts goodness forward. This is a little bit of an aside, but when I get comments from people who've seen this movie, this play, and how it affects them, what I want them to do then is go forward with it and help other people and help heal other people. And in doing so, we do heal ourselves. Because like that teacher who saved my life, he didn't really know the gravity of what he did for me. And in fact, I met him, you know, when the book came out. He said, you would have been fine. I said, no, you don't understand. And we never do. And as an artist, you don't know the people that you're going to affect. And so when I get messages or things about how my music has affected them or gotten through a rough time or something I've written or a book or something, it's like, great, pay it forward. Help other people. Share your life. So this was a very long answer to a very short question, which is, do you have a mantra? I guess bottom line, Charlotte, is be a good person, period. That's your job. Be a good person. Make the world better.